to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think that everyone knows at some level that life is poisoned and embittered by refusal to forgive. We ourselves are the saddest victims of our own vengefulness and refusal to forgive. Yes, the true victim of a vengeful, unforgiving spirit is not only the one vengeance is directed against, but also the vengeful person himself. And so long as we refuse to forgive, so long as we seek to get even, we cannot claim to be Christ-like, because Christ is God's forgiveness in flesh and blood. Christ shows us, and what is more, he makes possible the better way, the way of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of peace. When Peter asked Jesus, "How many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" As many as seven times. Peter receives the reply, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven," which means without limit. And to illustrate the point, Jesus tells that familiar parable of how, after a king had forgiven the debt of a servant who owed him what in today's money would be about $5 million, that same servant then had a fellow servant who owed him only about $10, had him put in prison. The first servant had been forgiven an enormous debt he could never hope to pay, but then refused to extend forgiveness to a fellow servant who owed him a paltry sum. In all of this, our Lord wants us to see ourselves. God is your creator and mine. You and I therefore owe him love. We owe him obedience, which we daily, repeatedly fail to give him in thought, in word, in deed. And still he forgives. Yet we refuse to extend forgiveness to fellow sinners. The forgiveness of God is daily extended to us who don't deserve it, and we are called to extend this same mercy to others. If we refuse to do so, we simply aren't growing in likeness to Christ, who is the express image, the very likeness, the revelation of the Father. What is the Father like? Just think of those wonderful and truly beautiful words from the 103rd Psalm, where the psalmist says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor requite us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." God is the great forgiver, and we are called to grow in likeness to him by ourselves being forgivers. But how do we manage to do that? Especially when, for example, you feel you'll never be able to forgive someone who has harmed you. how? The answer is that we need to remember where we are. We need to remember where we are. And what I mean by that is this. St. Paul says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Here St. Paul, of course, refers to the judgment at the last day. But not only on that day, but rather on every day, at every moment, we stand under God's judgment. God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. And what does God see when he looks into our hearts and desires and discerns our secret? God sees us as the sinners we in fact are. Like the first servant in the parable, each one of us owes an enormous debt to God, one we can't possibly pay. We can only plead for mercy. So it comes to this, that in order to forgive others, we must first realize that we ourselves are in need of forgiveness. And so the ability to forgive others involves recognizing and confessing our own sins. Now, some people will tell you that that's just morbid. But as C.S. Lewis once said, and truly said, those who don't think about their own sins make up for it by incessantly thinking of the sins of others. Those who don't think about their own sins make up for it by incessantly thinking of the sins of others. So we need to remember and confess our own sins. We need to remember where we are under judgment, but also under mercy. The king in Jesus' parable, out of sheer pity, forgives the enormously indebted servant his debt. And this God has in fact done for you and for me. Out of sheer pity, and at tremendous cost to himself, he has forgiven us. The tremendous cost, the agonizing death of his only and eternal Son on the cross. So where do you and I stand? We do stand under judgment, but we also stand under mercy. Before the judgment seat of Christ our God, we are all alike sinners in need of mercy. Before the cross of Christ our God, we are all alike freely and fully forgiven. As Christians, you and I believe that the day will finally come when we shall each stand before the judgment seat of God. And on that day, it won't really matter that this man insulted me, or that woman slighted me, or this person wasn't grateful for a thing I did, or that he always misunderstands me, or she distorts everything I say. On that last and great day, none of that will matter. All that will then matter is that, as the prophet Isaiah says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. All that will matter then will be mercy. Mercy will open the door to the life and joy eternal. And even now it is mercy that opens the door to life and joy for ourselves and for others. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all.